welcome to our Lectio Divina practice. As we begin today, let's start with admitting our want to be close and committed to God. Isn't it ironic that being in communion with God is the deep longing of our spirits, and yet many times it's at the resistance of our very flesh? Whether you came today begrudgingly or with joy and anticipation, you made an effort. You chose to listen to the Spirit who desires to speak life in and over you. So let's begin today by confessing, Lord, I want to want you. I want to love you. I confess sometimes it's hard, so I yield to your Spirit in me, your Spirit that intercedes on my behalf. Take the next 30 seconds to yield in your Spirit, whatever and however that looks like to you. Maybe it sounds like, Lord, here I am, or Lord, help me. Take the next 30 seconds here. God, you are Lord over my life. You are King of my heart. I posture myself in open receptiveness to your Spirit, your presence, and your power in my life. May I be a conduit of your peace, your grace, and your love for those around me. We'll be reading from John 21, 1 through 8, 15 through 19 in the ESV and the NLT versions. We'll begin with the ESV version. Where we pick up in the Gospel of John is shortly after Jesus has been crucified and resurrected. In the chapter before, Jesus has appeared to the disciples in a couple of instances, but for the most part, the disciples find themselves rattled and afraid. Imagine their emotional disarray after watching their beloved rabbi being crucified and then buried. Though they believe Jesus has resurrected, he's not with them like he was before. The disciples are without their master. Can you imagine how lost they might have felt? How disqualified? The very person who qualified them is not there. No other religious leader recognizes or acknowledges them. And if anything, they're likely shunning or scoffing at the disciples. The disciples must have felt confused, hurt, embarrassed, maybe even numb, like they got their teeth knocked out of them and lost their beloved friend in the process. Is it possible they felt a little foolish, maybe? Who were they to believe they could be anything more than fishermen? Jesus was Jesus, and they were not. They believed he was and is the Messiah, but revolution in the way they thought would come never came. We can imagine how they were feeling based on how they go back to their lives before Jesus. So with that in mind, listen to the scripture as we read from the ESV version. We begin at verse 1. After this, Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he revealed himself in this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, "I'm going fishing." They said to him, "We will go with you." They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just as day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore. Yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. And he said to them, "Children, do you have any fish?" They answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you'll find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved, therefore, said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he was stripped for work, and threw himself into the sea. The other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, but about 100 yards off. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Tend my sheep." He said to him a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And Peter said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go." This he said to show by what kind of death he was to glorify God. And after this, Jesus said to him, "Follow me." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. As you listen to the scripture the first time, how do you think it felt to return to fishing and catch nothing all night? Take the next 30 seconds to imagine here. Imagine the frustration, the anger, the sadness. And now imagine what it must have been like to see Jesus on the shore. Imagine the breakfast they shared, how it must have felt to spend time with Jesus like that once more. Take 30 seconds here. Let's listen to the scripture again in the NLT version. This time, as we listen, take special notice of how Jesus meets them. He prepares a warm meal with bread by the fire, cooks the fish they caught with his help. Imagine how the disciples must have felt in that quiet tension as Jesus is cooking for them. Imagine Jesus' countenance, maybe the scars on his hands as he cooks the fish or serves them the meal. We begin at verse 1. Later, Jesus appeared again to the disciples beside the Sea of Galilee. This is how it happened. Several of the disciples were there: Simon Peter, Thomas, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples. Simon Peter said, "I'm going fishing." "We'll come too," they all said. So they went out in the boat, but they caught nothing all night. At dawn, Jesus was standing on the beach, but the disciples couldn't see who he was. He called out, "Fellows, have you caught any fish?" "No," they replied. Then he said, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat, and you'll get some. And so they did, and they couldn't haul in the net because there were so many fish in it. Then the disciple Jesus loved said to Peter, "It's the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his tunic, for he had stripped for work, jumped into the water, and headed to the shore. The others stayed with the boat and pulled the loaded net to the shore, for they were only about 100 yards from shore. When they got there, they found breakfast waiting for them, fish cooked over charcoal fire and some bread. "Bring some of the fish you've just caught," Jesus said. So Simon Peter went aboard and dragged the net to shore. There were 153 large fish, and yet the net hadn't torn. "Now come and have some breakfast," Jesus said. None of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Then Jesus served them the bread and fish. This was the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples since he had been raised from the dead. After breakfast, Jesus asked Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," Peter replied. "You know I love you." "Then feed my lambs," Jesus told him. Jesus repeated the question, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" "Yes, Lord," Peter said. "You know I love you." "Then take care of my sheep," Jesus said. A third time he asked him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt that Jesus asked the question a third time. He said, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Then feed my sheep. I tell you the truth. When you were young, you were able to do as you liked. You dressed yourself and went wherever you wanted to go. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and others will dress you and take you where you don't want to go." Jesus said this to let him know by what kind of death he would glorify God. Then Jesus told him, "Follow me." Amen. As you listen to the scripture a second time, what stood out to you? Why do you think Jesus said what he said to Peter? How do you think Peter must have felt to hear Jesus reinstate his ministry despite his own failures? Take the next minute to ask and ponder. What I love about this interaction is that it reminds me in so many different ways how loving and patient and good of a teacher Jesus is. He knows how defeated Peter felt. He knows how much Peter must have hated himself for the way he betrayed Jesus. And Jesus invites him back and empowers Peter to step back into his calling of caring for God's people through ministry. When Jesus asks Peter, "Do you love me?" Jesus knows the answer, but he wants Peter to know that leading Jesus' sheep and taking care of God's people is a ministry that is rooted in love for God and not anything else. It's not based on Peter's skill or even his qualifications, not on pedigree or past. Jesus is reminding him that Peter's ministry is in response to his love for Jesus. We come to God with fickle hearts. our love waxes and wanes. But the good news is that Jesus' love is steady. Through all our misdeeds and best intentions, His love never diminishes. Our love fades because we fade, but God is constant, and He remains faithful. And not only is He faithful to us, but He covers our lack. What a good Savior. What a loving Father who loves us despite ourselves. So may we love in response to who He is and how He loves us. And when we fail and mess up, as we are destined to, may we hear God's invitation every day. Child, do you love me? Then follow me. Let's pray. To the God who loves us first, we could sing a million songs and pray every second of every day, and it would not be enough to show you what love and adoration you deserve. And yet you love us still, us with our feeble hearts and wobbly affections. May we not hide in our boats, but meet you each day on the shore, as you invite us into communion. Then and only then, may we love the world in response to your love for us. In your precious name we pray. Amen. Thanks for joining us for this week's Audio Lectio Divina practice. Until next time, bye.